Hi everyone, it is Sophia. Welcome to Life on Audio. So this might not come as a surprise to anyone who at least knows me from TikTok, but you have to understand that I have not been in the business of admitting this out loud. I know deep down that this is a problem, but I've tried to avoid sharing that I have this problem with other people, or at least like downplaying it. And I know for a fact that I am not the only person who is dealing with this, okay? I'm quite aware, which is probably why I'm admitting it out loud, because then we can just like kumbaya together over the fact that we have this problem. So I have to admit, I am a TikTok addict, actually just a phone addict, but I feel that the reason why I'm a phone addict is mainly linked to the great app of TikTok. And by the time that this episode comes out, I assume there will be a decision on what's happening with TikTok. It'll probably have already happened, whatever is going to happen. And there's so much unknown. But at this current point in time, it is January 12th. So we have 7 days until the supposed TikTok ban. And I feel like no one actually knows what's happening. We're all sitting here confused. And the funny thing for me is like TikTok has become my livelihood now, unironically, actually. And I make money off of it. It's been sort of a partial source of income, which has been really great. I was hoping that I could continue growing as a creator and that, you know, if the career stuff wasn't working out right away, I would at least have that security blanket in a way. And also just that creative outlet and that community. I mean, it was such a community for me. Like, I've met so many amazing people off of it. I have been able to develop a community, which I never imagined. I also realized today, I was listening to a podcast, which I was listening to Anything Goes by Emma Chamberlain. I guess I'm back into podcasts now. I'll explain why I was listening, but I was listening to her podcast and I hit this weird realization where I was like, oh my gosh, TikTok was this space where I could be myself. I could be honest about my life and where I'm at and be accepted for it. And I have struggled with acceptance in the past. I've struggled with feeling like I don't fit into places, with feeling so different from everyone else. The fact that I was able to get onto something and just be myself and people accepted me for it and were excited to follow me along my journey and felt represented maybe even by me, or just like could relate to me, could resonate with my stories, was so amazing. And the fact that that's all going away, like, have to admit, there is one massive, massive pro, and that is the fact that maybe I will be able to cut that addiction, that will wipe out that addiction that I have, because I'll be essentially forced to live without it. And I feel like it has to be an extreme now because I am so deep into it. I am years, honestly, almost, I think it's like half a decade now. Is it half a decade? I'm like half a decade into this addiction. And it's obviously grown with time, but it's not great. Okay, before that, I just wanted to make some notes on other things unrelated. Okay, so I was listening to Emma's podcast and it was interesting because I haven't listened to her podcast in probably months. I go back and forth on like enjoying podcasts, and her podcast is the one that I usually go back to when I do all of a sudden feel like I want to listen to something other than music. I really like those kind of podcast episodes that she does. And I feel like they're kind of similar to mine. I mean, she does a lot of like advice stuff too, which I don't do as much of, but sometimes she's just being like brutally honest about certain things that she's experienced in life. And I'm like, I feel like that's kind of what my podcast is in a way too. Or at least I hope that's how people see it, because it's not like I'm trying to like emulate her style, but just listening to it again, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, this feels familiar. So yeah, I was listening to her podcast because last week on Sunday, I discovered this incredible practice that all the TikTok girlies, the TikTok lifestyle girlies have been on for years now, which is like the Sunday reset. Last week, we got back from Mexico. It was Sunday. I didn't have a plan for my Sunday. My mom wakes up, and the moment she's walked out of her bedroom, she is talking about this white dust. We had gotten our roof done and we'd come back and she was like, there's white dust everywhere and it's like so bad. Literally would not stop talking about it. And she was quite sick. So she was like, I just physically cannot clean everything. And I was like, all right, fear not. I will get to work. Just let me have my breakfast and like my green tea and then like I'll get into it. I was like, I'm anyways taking like my big everything shower today and all that. So like I'll just, you know, like do the deep clean, do the workout and then have like a nice relaxing rest of the day. So I got to work on the house. I cleaned all of like the shelves and basically like dusted everything. And then I vacuumed and mopped the floor. And it was an act of labor. I think it took me around 3 to 4 hours to just get everything done. But I realized it was actually a really nice way to spend the Sunday, which like, whoa, revolutionary. It's not like everyone's already been doing this on TikTok. But here's the thing. I feel like when you're living at home, there's less motivation to do such a thing or to like dedicate a day to it because, well, there's a couple things. Number one, I hate when people watch me clean. And if people are around, it just feels like everyone's kind of in my way. And I'm like, don't pay attention to what I'm doing. Okay. So I usually try and wait until like everyone's out to like do the specific things that I like have set out to do. I generally do like a vacuum and mop every so often, but I usually wait until like I'm home alone to do that. And on Sunday, everyone is home. No one's going anywhere. So everyone's there. So that's the first thing. I completely lost my trail of thought. What was I explaining here? Oh gosh. Anyways, it was like a nice way to spend the day and it felt productive and motivation. I was talking about motivation. And then also it's like, where do you start? Because obviously my family home is bigger than any apartment space I would have currently. Like apartment space is easy, you know, you have less than 1,000 square feet. And it's essentially just like the kitchen, bathroom, bedroom, living room kind of thing. So it's like you pick and choose what needs to be figured out at the time. It's like pretty simple. But with like a home, it's just like, where do you even start? Like what's necessary besides like, you know, like vacuum mop, like obviously that's something that I know needs to be done like regularly. But beyond that, I'm like, I don't really know. Anyways, so I did that last week and I came out of it feeling quite good. I was like, this is a nice way to go into the week. And then I felt like my first couple of days at least were quite productive. And I don't know whether it was because I had sort of that like reset day, even though it wasn't necessarily for myself, it was more for the house, but it felt like I was productive and I accomplished something. I also have maybe a toxic trait of mine is that whenever I do something that's like more laborious, like physically, like manual labor kind of thing, I like to think that that's like a workout. So in my mind, it was like, because I ended up doing a workout afterwards too, but I was like, okay, like I did my regular workout plus 3 hours of this whole cleaning adventure around the house. I don't know if we can actually consider it a workout, but like I will consider it a workout. So today, well, yesterday, my dad was like, Sophia, can you help me with yard work? And I was like, ugh. I literally just washed my hair and I usually try and sync it up with my hair washing days because I'm like, you know, but anyways, I was like, all right, fine, I'll help you on Sunday. And then so today when I woke up and I saw my dad, I was like, okay, what needs to be done? He gave me an explanation. He was like, oh, I'll do this, you do this. And I was like, you know what? That sounds a little complicated. Let me just do the whole thing myself. So I did. I think I took probably an hour and a half or so to do all of that. And I was listening to Emma's podcasts while I was listening or while I was doing that. And then afterwards, I came back in and I actually finally tackled my room because my room becomes quite the disaster zone quite quickly. And then I just don't really have the motivation to like, okay, I have a dresser. And what I'll do is once I start taking clothes out, I'll just like throw them around the dresser instead of folding them back up. Like I roll my clothes instead of like rolling my clothes and putting them in like the right shelf or whatever it's called, drawer. I will just kind of throw things around until it's like so bad that I can't even like figure out. And then every time clothes get washed and like I fold them, I usually just like pile them up on top of the dresser. And I'm like, oh, I'll like put them in the designated drawers later on. And then they're just kind of there. So anyways, that's what my room was looking like. I also had my suitcase still out. I had like a box with winter clothing that I had taken out from when I was going to New York. That was still out and it was just kind of like standing there. And then I was like throwing things on top of that. So I finally got to all of that, because I don't know, for some reason I just like don't. Okay, to be fair, even when I had an apartment, I very much was in the habit of like just kind of throwing things around. Not so much, I think, in my first apartment, but in my second apartment, I just remember like, yeah, it would be kind of the same thing, but I would try and get to it more often. Like I would let like a week go by before I was like, all right, let's tackle this. And I would try to be mindful of like, okay, whenever I like am done using something, like we put it back here. Or like, you know, if I am going to do laundry, like I might as well throw everything into where it's supposed to go, like take the extra 20 minutes or I don't know, 10 minutes, well, however long it was going to take me, like do it now. But something about being at home has really thrown my motivation to just like keep things tidy out of the window. And maybe that's embarrassing to admit, but I fear that's just the way that I work. So I feel like I can be mindful with communal spaces, but when it comes to my own space, it's just kind of like everything goes, you know? So anyways, I feel like I got a good amount of stuff done today as well. So that's nice. That feels good. Also, my dad was like, oh, good job. And you know, I don't know how I feel about compliments. Me and compliments have a really interesting relationship. First off, I feel like my parents didn't particularly compliment me a ton when I was younger. Like they were definitely not saying high praises all the time. I think my parents very much had this mentality of like, we can be proud, but we don't need to be like so vocal about it. Actually, I don't even know if they can be proud. Don't ask me about the first part, but like, I'm just going to pretend that this is their mentality. So growing up, I don't think my parents were like super big into complimenting us. Like I'm sure we got compliments and every so often like the random, but I feel like there wasn't a lot of like, oh, we're proud of you, but then like there's that random, like it'll get sprinkled in randomly and you're like, whoa. Day to day, I feel like I wouldn't hear compliments a lot, but then it's like if something big was achieved, like, you know, graduation, then like there was that uncomfortable thing where it's like I came out of my first graduation ceremony and I met my parents and they were like, oh wow, so proud of you. And I'm just like, oh, no need to share. I don't, thanks. Like, I hope you're proud of me, but I didn't need to hear it. And also in the past with dating, I've always been very strange about compliments too. Like whenever a guy gives me a compliment, okay, I definitely think I would find it weird if they didn't give me a compliment, because it's obviously some validation that they're like interested in you and they find you pretty or they find you interesting or whatever it is. So like when I find myself with someone over time and I'm like interested in them and they're not really complimenting me, I'm like, are you actually interested in me? I'm not sure. Like I need to hear it. You need to verbalize that. But then once they say the compliment, I don't know how to react at all. I'm like, oh, thanks. Like you need to tell me. I do need to hear the compliments, but like I also don't want to hear them, because the moment I hear it, I'm just like, oh, okay, yeah, all right, like, thanks, I guess. Like, I just don't know how to react to that. So anyways, my dad saying good job, I was like, for what? The fact that I did what I was asked to do? Okay, I'm a capable human being. I don't know. I mean, obviously it's nice, but like, I don't know. I just don't know how to react. I don't know how to react, okay? And I get so awkward or just like kind of standoffish even. Like, I'm just like, don't tell me that. I don't want to hear it. But like, I do, but I don't. Okay, anyways, I think we can sort of pivot back to the topic of this episode, me and my addiction. So I have a mother who is very anti-technology, social media, maybe not even technology, but definitely social media. She likes to kind of like, if I ever spew any sort of problem, it'll always go back to, oh, it's the social media, it's the phone, like you need to be off your phone more. And to be fair, I spend a lot of time on my phone. And clearly now that I'm living at home, like there's no way to kind of hide that. But it also has gotten weird now, because as of recent, there's like a good enough explanation for why I spend a lot of time on my phone. I kind of have like a makeshift job on my phone, if that makes sense. Like obviously no one's forcing, it's not like I have to be on my phone all the time. Like I could obviously say, you know what, I'm gonna just stop posting on TikTok and just not do that anymore, and then I have no reason to be on my phone. But I definitely use it as part of the excuse for why I spend so much time on my phone, because like obviously, yeah, it takes some time to like film, put the videos together, post it. Obviously you're gonna spend some time on your phone doing that if you're doing it. But the thing is, I spend so much more time on my phone than it takes to get all of that done in a day, right? I'm spending way more time than I need to be, and I have a really difficult time avoiding it. There's like some exceptions as to, I'll explain, like I'll start giving you like how many hours I spend on my phone, which no one judge, No one judge, okay? But yeah, like obviously there's some exceptions or like there's some things that can help me like curtail the time that I spend on my phone. But if I have free rein, I spend a lot of time on my phone and it's hard for me to like reel back or be like, you know what? We're gonna just tuck the phone away and like we're gonna go do something else. And yeah, it's a struggle. Also, I started a book and I thought this was very much the reason why I started it was because it was on my list and I downloaded it, but I meant to read a different book first and then get back to that. But I was like, this is so fitting for exactly what's happening right now, like with the TikTok ban and all that. And so I was like, you know what, I'll just start reading it now because maybe by the time all that happens, like I'm at the good part of the book. It's called Dopamine Nation and it's about addiction, and supposedly at some point I'm at the very beginning where they're still like explaining the psychology and all of like the more sciencey parts, which has been a test. Okay, it's been a test of my educational background. I'm like, do I still know this stuff or is this news to me again? But yeah, I've been reading that book and I'm hoping eventually we get to a point where they're like, okay, so we gave you all the science behind addiction and the explanation. Here is how to curtail an addiction or how to get out of that cycle or like whatever the tips are. I mean, it says that they're supposed to give you tips. So I'm hoping we get to the tips soon. Because I would like to know. I'm sure it would be interesting for someone who didn't study psychology, but a lot of the things that they're explaining are things that I literally took like a very specific course on. I took a class, I don't know if it was, no, it wasn't the psychology of, but it was like neuropsychological sciences or something, or something like that, where we just learned about the intersection between like neuroscience and psychology. And there was like a whole chapter, I think, about addiction, where we learned about all the like addictive substances and what happens in your brain and blah, blah. And that was a class that I took a year ago. So it wasn't that long ago. So I still know some of that stuff. So, okay, let's just get into it. In my ideal world, I would be spending 1 to 2 hours average on my phone per day, which I feel like for this generation, the fact that like there is so much that can be done on a phone, and also for the fact that I work from my phone, that's like really good. I think for me, the ideal is like I just use my phone for a couple of things. One, to communicate with people, but like I can also do that over my computer because I have like my text messages over my computer. So that's one. Two, for editing stuff. If I am spending a little bit more time on my phone, it's just to edit my videos together / filming. Filming is easy because it's not like I'm like actively on my phone. Like I'll just prop up my camera and then I can do whatever I'm doing. And then I come back, just like turn it off and then continue on with my day. So that's not a problem for me. Like just filming and then the editing. The editing is obviously going to take a lot longer. Like I can take up to an hour, I think, making a TikTok, which I know sounds absurd, but like I've purposefully created this system where I spend a little bit more time and I am a little bit more mindful about what I'm saying and what I'm showing and stuff like that, because for the longest time I was such an open book and I just didn't want to continue doing that. I felt like that was crossing a boundary. Like I was crossing my own personal boundary with what I was comfortable sharing online. So I do have that process. And then just posting. Posting takes like a minute or two max, and then like maybe you reply to some comments and that takes a couple of more minutes, but that really doesn't take much longer. And then I wish I could just like be mainly away from my phone unless like, oh, someone texts me and I'm on the go and I need to respond. That's it. That's what I would ideally like my phone usage to look like. Keep it at that. Unfortunately, I am very much a victim of doom scrolling. I'm a big doom scroller and I hate admitting that out loud because I'm like, how do I even let that happen, right? Like, I feel like it should be so easy. You just are mindful of the fact that like you have some time and so you avoid your phone. But I have this very specific thing that I do, and I do this quite often, where just like I'll find myself around my bed with my phone in my hand. You know, maybe I walk into my room and I see my bed and it's made and all that, but I'll just lay on top of it, open up my phone, and I can spend hours just doom scrolling. And I'll always like start off with this intention of like, oh, I'm just gonna like lay here for a couple of minutes and I'm gonna start working on a TikTok. Actually, like I'm gonna record the voiceover. This has especially been bad recently because like now I'm like, oh, I'm doing this to like record my voiceover and to like edit my video, and then I doom scroll instead, and literally hours of the day can go to that. And here's the thing, the way that I explain this to myself, or the way that it works with me, is I spend a lot of time on my phone regardless. Like, it doesn't matter if I am very busy or if I have absolutely nothing to do. I think in general, in comparison to the average person, which like now it's kind of hard because it's like, who are you comparing yourself to? Because I think as a generation, we also have this problem, and a lot of us are on TikTok. And if we're not on TikTok, then we're on something like Instagram Reels or YouTube Shorts or whatever, wherever people are getting their content from. So it's not uncommon for people to spend a lot of time consuming content. So yeah, who am I comparing myself to? I don't know. But I think just in general, I feel that I spend a lot of time on my phone basically since I've gotten a phone. It's so funny because, okay, so I have this like anti-technology, anti-social media mom, actually sort of family. My dad didn't get a cell phone until I was a freshman in college. And that was my phone that we passed down to him solely because we were like, okay, sometimes it's hard to keep tabs on him. It would be better if he has like a phone on him. And then once we gave him a phone, he did this thing where he didn't really want to use it, minus like the only thing he really uses, well, now obviously times have changed, but when he first started using it, his only thing that he really used it for was WhatsApp to like communicate with his mother and sister. So he would use his phone, like every Sunday he calls his mom and spends a couple of hours talking to her. So he'd use his phone for that. And then any other time, his phone would be shut off. So it actually was not of any help to any of us, because whenever we would try and reach my dad, where was his phone? Shut off at home, like nowhere to be found kind of thing. So that was for the longest time. Now he tends to carry it around. He still keeps it off most times. So that still creates some complications, but every so often he'll have it on and you can actually communicate with him when you're like somewhere else or when he's somewhere else. And you know, I think he definitely uses it more now than he did when he first started off. And my dad was like so against the phone. He was like, I'm not going to get a phone unless it can like fit in my pocket, or not pocket, fit in my wallet. He was like, I don't need a phone, blah, blah. I didn't get my first iPhone until I was 14, which now is considered old because I feel like kids are getting phones at like 6. But even back then, that was still quite old. I feel like on average, most of my friends got their first phone between 10 and 12. And I had to wait like 2 more years to get a phone, begging, pleading. My parents were like, absolutely not. You don't need one. We're not getting you one. My mom also didn't have like a smartphone up until I got my first iPhone. She had this like tiny little boxy, you know, those tiny little, not even a flip phone, just like the tiny little phones where it's just a keypad and then a little screen. And pretty much the only thing you can do is call someone. Like, you can't even really text someone on there. Yeah, that's what she had from like the time that I started middle school maybe to then when I started high school and like I finally got my first phone. Also, I didn't get my first phone until a couple of months into high school. So like, imagine the humiliation there. My parents really let me go through it. Okay. Because like, obviously from a parent standpoint, you're like, okay, that's smart. You prolonged it for as long as possible. But as a kid, I think it was difficult seeing all of my friends have this thing and not having it myself. And I don't know if this gave rise to my very quick onset of sort of like a phone addiction, but pretty much the moment maybe I have like an addictive personality, although I feel like that's probably not the explanation either, because it's not like, well, who knows? Now that I'm reading this book, I'm starting to reconsider. I'm like, do I have an addictive personality? Like, but I feel like also I've never felt this with anything else in my life. I've never really had a concern of like, oh, am I addicted to this other thing as well? You know, I don't know. I mean, obviously I've had like unhealthy relationships with other things that people tend to be addicted to, like alcohol, for example. I don't think I had the healthiest relationship with it, but I don't think that was an addiction. I think it would have taken a lot more for that to be considered an addiction. I mean, I was drinking mainly just socially. I never really drank alone or that kind of stuff. But yeah, sometimes I'm like, well, maybe, I don't know, like would this, like what is considered an addiction? So it's actually interesting reading this book because now I'm like, wait a minute, is that something that I should be thinking about? Because you would think, when you think addiction, I feel like you think about the things you hear about the most, like gambling, alcohol, drugs, feel like that's kind of the main stuff that you think of. But I feel like it goes beyond that, and it can really be anything, actually. Like anything that you can find yourself really gravitating towards. It might not have any rhyme or reason. Actually, as the book was explaining, she was like, I had an addiction to, I think, like fantasy romance novels or something of that, some very specific genre book. She was like, I literally got this fix from like she started with Twilight, and then she was like, whoa, I love this. And then she was like consuming it time again. And then all of a sudden she wasn't even like reading it to read the whole book. She was just going to this very specific section where it gets like really good and it climaxes, and she would just read that and like whole thing. And you're like, wait, you can be addicted to a genre of book? Like, who in the world would have thought? But that actually makes sense. Like, yeah, in theory you can be addicted to anything, right? Anyways, so yeah, I feel that from the very beginning of me having a phone, I was already spending a lot more time than I think most people my age. And like, what was I doing at the beginning? I actually don't know, because I didn't have social media for the first 9 months of having a phone. And then I downloaded Instagram. Well, first it was Snapchat, then it was Instagram. Okay, actually that was a lie. Snapchat came a couple of months after I got my phone, then there was Instagram, and then TikTok didn't happen until my senior year of high school in November. So for the longest time, it was just like, oh, and I also, when I was in high school, I would watch a lot of YouTube, not just on my phone, also on my computer. This is where this whole thing started. You know how I said like I was doom scrolling? So it all would start when I was in high school. I would come home from school. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. Obviously, I have a bunch of homework to do and all that, but I have the afternoon for myself. Okay, I don't have ballet or whatever I was doing at the time. I have the afternoon to myself. And what would I do first thing when I would get home? I would walk to my room. Specifically, I remember like my junior, senior year. This was like when it was really just a problem. Like this, I would do this pretty much every afternoon where I didn't have any other commitment for the rest of the day. I would walk into my room. I would see my bed. I would lay on top of my bed or like climb into, I don't know if I was making my bed at the time, but anyways, I would climb onto my bed with my phone in hand, and I would start watching YouTube videos. And I would do this until for hours, literal hours. And I would do this until either my phone would die or I finally had this motivation moment where I was like, whoa, I still have homework to do. Like I need to get out of bed. And then I would like leave my phone. And obviously I would feel kind of drained. And like, I mean, I still feel this. It's like, it sort of drains you and you feel, I don't know, like unable to do, I don't know how to explain this, like unable to do other things. Like you feel so out of it, kind of like mind numb in a way. And then I would get out of bed and I would go do whatever I had to do. But at this point, like it would literally be dark. Like I would come home at 2, 3 p.m. at the latest. And by the time that I would climb out of bed, it would be dark. So like 5, 6, maybe even 7. And this was just a constant thing. I would always do it. I would always be like, nope, today I'm going to be better. I remember like, I specifically remember one new year where I was like, okay, we are not doing this anymore. When I come home from school, I'm going to get straight to my homework. And then like later on, if I want to do it, I can do it. But first, homework, get that done, get that out of the way. So I made this game plan. I was trying to figure out like, what is the best way to get energy? And I like read this article and they were like, stretch, eat a high protein snack, some other things. And so I like wrote that all down on like a little sticky note. And I was like, all right, so when I come home, I'm going to do this little routine where I like stretch, I do a little, I don't know what it was, like little stretching moment. And then I'm going to eat a high protein snack. And I think I also at some point tried a power nap. I don't know if that was like the same thing or separate thing, maybe a little power nap. I tried all of this stuff and then I tried to get to work, and it lasted probably like a week or a couple of days before I went back to the whole habit of just climbing into bed, watching YouTube. And then of course, when TikTok came around, and I was really trying to avoid TikTok for the longest time. I remember when my sister had Musical.ly going into TikTok, and then one of my friends, my high school best friend, got TikTok, and she was like, oh, you know, it's so good. And I was like, no, like that's, I don't need to be, you know, having access to this app. Like I knew, I was aware of what it was going to do to me. I was aware that I would spend like countless of hours each day on this app if I had access to it. But then eventually I was like, oh wait, my friend started sending me these TikToks she would make. She wouldn't even post them. She would just make them, save it, and then send it to me. And it would usually be with her sister, and they were fun TikToks. You know, at that time, like everyone was just doing like these dancing TikToks and all that. that and like making fun videos to sounds. It wasn't that serious at the time, I feel. And so she would make these videos and I would see them and I was like, oh wait, that's so fun. And finally I caved and I got TikTok, and basically ever since I've been on TikTok, it's just been part of my life. So I fear I can't blame TikTok completely, but TikTok has been sort of like the gateway drug, if that makes sense, into like what it is now. Like, I don't know. It's hard to say because, yeah, we could say that, oh, well, if you just deleted TikTok, you would just like go back to YouTube, for example. And admittedly, yes, I probably would go back to watching YouTube more. Like, I don't watch YouTube now ever. But for example, if anyone remembers, a while back, I took like a 3-week break from TikTok and my phone usage was definitely down. What happens if my phone usage is down, then my computer usage is up, because then I'm spending more time on my computer, like watching stuff and all that. But I feel like it's still better than what TikTok is, because I'm not exactly the type of person to like watch like episode after episode, or like okay, this one's sort of like hit or miss, but like I still can kind of keep myself from like, I still am a lot better at keeping myself from doing it for hours on end. I don't know. It's so hard to explain this. Anyways, so yeah, I definitely spent more time on YouTube during that time, but I also just wasn't using my phone as much. And I feel like I wasn't like watching stuff as much either. What was I doing with my time? I cannot remember, but I feel like I was definitely spending less time on my phone. And then for example, like right after that, when I got back onto TikTok, I was still in the habit of not being on it. So I would just like post and then walk away from it. And I was in India and it definitely had like low phone usage at the time too. Okay, so here's how it works. Even though I feel like I spend a lot of time on my phone just in general, no matter how busy or not busy I am, being busy is the best way for me to ensure that I'm not on my phone a lot, which is where it becomes difficult now, because as you guys might no, I am not very busy these days. Obviously, I'm working on stuff. I'm working on my job applications. I can find ways to pack my day. But here's the thing. If I am just going to be at home all day and I give myself free rein over my phone, I'm like, you can use your phone when you want to. I don't tuck it away. I don't, you know, I'm not like, okay, we're going to spend some time off of it. I can be on my phone easily 8 to 9 hours that day, which is like essentially pretty much the entire time that I'm awake. And this has been for years. Okay. This has been for years. It was all through college. It was sort of the same thing. Like whenever I would come home and I would have a break, it was like, I would slip right back into spending hours on end on my phone. It was unavoidable. When I was in school, obviously I was going to classes pretty much every day. I was busy. I was meeting people. Even if I wasn't meeting people, like I still had classes. I still had things to do. I feel like my average was generally 3 to 4 hours a day, which is still a lot better because obviously like part of my day was put aside for whatever I had going on, classes, social events, clubs, meeting friends, blah, blah. So that was like half decent. Obviously there were still days where I would find myself coming home at some point and I was like, okay, like I'm gonna still get some stuff done. So last year I would try and keep myself out of my apartment for as long as possible before going back. So I would try and go to like a coffee shop after my classes and like get work done there, whatever homework I had to do, so that I would have less to do when I came home, because I knew that the moment I walked into my door, 95% of the time I would see my bed, because that was the first thing I saw when I walked into my apartment last year. It was, the door was across from my bed. I would look at my bed and I'd be like, okay, let's go lay on it. And then I would be there 4 hours until I was like, I should probably have dinner, or like, it's really late. Like another thing is it would get really late and I was like, ooh, like we're cutting into my bedtime now. Like I need to go sleep. And sometimes this is going to sound so bad, but sometimes I just wouldn't eat. Do we see how this is a problem? Okay, this is a problem. Anyways, I got a lot better about feeding myself, but I think there have also been times where I would panic and I'd be like, wait, it's so late. Like, I just need to go to sleep. This is cutting into my sleep time, and sleep is my priority here. I think last year I would still try and like munch on something, because see, I would come back home and I'd be like, okay, I'm gonna work on my podcast episode and I'm gonna study a little bit more, or I'm gonna try and like get ahead for this class or whatever it is, or create a study guide, whatever the whole plan was. And then I'll cook myself some dinner. And many nights I wouldn't end up getting to cooking myself some dinner. So I finally created a hack for myself. I think it was actually like about a year ago. It was probably in my last quarter at UCLA that I was like, you know what? instead of trying to get ingredients to make things with, I'll just buy cooked items from Whole Foods. Like Whole Foods has the hot bar and like you can literally buy like packaged cooked items, which are, I mean, maybe not as healthy as like a home cooked meal, but like healthy enough. And I would just get a bunch of those items so that when it came time to eat a meal, I could just throw it onto a plate, warm it up, and it was already made and I didn't have to worry about cooking, because when it would come down to the cooking, sometimes I wouldn't get around to it. Yeah, it was like 3-4 hours, but it was definitely like when I would come back home, there was a reason why I tried to keep myself out as long as possible. And if I knew like I had an exam coming up or something like that, I avoided studying in my apartment because I was like, my bed's right there. I lived in a studio apartment. I could see my bed from pretty much any angle that I was standing at in my, you know, apartment. And I was like, yeah, it's like I go to, so I spent a lot of time at coffee shops, and I also spent a lot more time at the library than I think I'd ever done in my time in college, just so that I could be productive, because otherwise I knew that it was not going to happen. And it still happened quite often, but at least I was able to like generally get my work done. I was trying to be an academic weapon there. On a really good day where I'm like extremely busy, jam-packed, I'm going to be out of the house the entire day, I'm not coming back until like night falls and then it's like bedtime. If that is the case, my average will maybe be like 1 to 2 hours, which is ideal. I've definitely had days where like I've had under an hour of screen time. And that's like my ideal situation. Like I love that. I'm like, oh yay, like I'm not spending that much time. So actually the nice thing about the Sunday reset thing is I've been spending a lot less time on my phone. Like today, obviously I was listening to a podcast, but I wasn't like actively on my phone. Because here's the thing, what do you do when you're actively on your phone for 8 to 9 hours a day? There's nothing to do really besides doom scroll. And with me, it's also seeing my likes and comments and follows come in. And that, at least I've gotten better with it. But when I first started off on TikTok a year ago, and I would have these like doom scroll moments, and I would just be sitting on my phone watching the likes and comments and follows come in, literally like refreshing every couple of minutes just to see what was new. That was so bad for my mental health. So bad for my mental health. Horrible. Horrible. So yeah, I spend a lot of time on my phone. And again, like at this current stage of my life, it's hard to be super busy. It's hard to be busy every single day, if that makes sense. Like I can go a couple of days with like being very busy, but I don't have enough to jam pack each day so that I'm not on my phone all the time. And I don't have the ability to keep myself off my phone if I don't have other things going on. That's just my problem. Like it's clearly a big problem. And unfortunately, I think every time, it's not that I haven't necessarily tried being better about it, but it's been very, very hard. And I've never successfully been able to walk around this problem and like fix it, like find a solution that really works for me. And so for that, I'm like, well, I mean, if TikTok gets banned, like at least we have this one thing. Now, who knows what happens then? Mind you, I think I just have a phone addiction in general. So yeah, maybe I'll start doom scrolling on Instagram Reels, which actually I tried yesterday, and that was not, I think I scrolled like 5-6 videos and I was like, this is not my cup of tea, no thank you, because I'm thinking of like posting all of my videos on Instagram Reels over the next couple of days just to like have them in a second location, since who knows what's going to happen with the videos after, you know, TikTok. I'm so confused. I just don't get it. Like I don't know what's happening. I can't explain it. I can't understand what's happening. Like everyone's saying something different, so I'm like, okay, like is it going to be a whole blackout? Is it gonna be, what does it mean? And then what if I go travel abroad? Like will I all of a sudden have access to it again? And I'll be like mourning it and be like, oh my gosh, my Shayla, like she's back. I don't know what to expect. I don't think any of us really know what to expect. But yeah, no, I definitely have a problem. And the only way to really fix this problem is to just be busy. And being at home, I have not been very busy. Now, this leads to another problem, which is brain rot. We've all heard the terminology. If you are in a similar position to me, or spend any time on TikTok, really. Yeah, my brain has definitely, you know, it's funny, like I have this degree from UCLA and I studied psychology and I was like in school for all this time and I've been out of school now for 10 months-ish. And I'm really getting to this point, and I've said this to some of my friends, I really feel like I am working against all those years of education because for the very first time I'm out of school. But I feel like me and being on my phone, being on TikTok is literally working against everything. Like my brain is like becoming mush. My brain is becoming mush. And recently, like over the past couple weeks, I feel like I've been starting to see it a lot more. For example, I said this in a different episode. I forgot my computer charger at a cafe. And when I walked away and realized, I knew that the reason why I'd forgotten it was because I was like, it was such a mindless move. It was because I was not in tune with everything that was going on. Because I was like, I had my computer and I had my phone, and I probably, what happened, I don't know if this actually happened, but what probably happened was the moment I closed my computer, I got onto my phone and I started like watching TikTok or like checking the stats and checking like how many likes and follows and comments had come in the time that I was working on my computer. And so I was like sort of kind of, except for some reason, I was actually filming myself. I was filming myself when I was packing up my bag. So I don't know what the explanation there is. Anyways, point is my mind was somewhere else. And like, can we all have like a brain fart at times? Absolutely. So I'm trying not to be like so critical of myself, but I just knew. I was like, that was a direct result of just like being so mindless. My mom loves the word mindless and I always hate when she says it, but like actually genuinely mindless because you're so stimulated by other things, aka the phone, the computer. I had been on my computer for hours at that point, applying to jobs, which is like a relatively productive thing. But I think truly just like the constant stimulation of like, okay, new job, apply kind of thing. And then like every so often taking a little break from that to go check my phone and my social media. My brain had become mush by the time that I was ready to leave. And like going out was like a breath of fresh air. And I was like, okay, I breathe. But like in that moment when I had to take out or pack my bag, I was still like in that brain mush state. Like my brain hadn't like been able to breathe, if that makes sense. And there was something else recently too. Like I can feel myself becoming more mindless and like less in tune what's going on around me and like forgetting things a lot easier. I mean, this has just been like over time too, but forgetting things easier. Okay, this is maybe not the best comparison because I don't know, but I remember when I was younger, before, you know, me and the phone happened, I used to be so good at remembering people's birthdays. I'd met you once and you told me when your birthday was, like I had it logged down in my brain. And it's funny because I still have actually those birthdays. Like I remember, for example, in April, and this was when I was like 10 years old. When I was 10, I was in fifth grade. April was this birthday month. So my best friend at the time, Dakota's birthday was April 2nd. Then I had a friend, Marion, whose birthday was April 10th. Then there were these two twins. Actually, fun fact, they were not twins, but they were siblings born on the exact same day in the same grade and in the same class. This was like the most bizarre thing. They were both born on April 18th. So I remember thinking like 888, like there's like a separation of 888. I don't know, like I just was so good at remembering birthdays. Guys, I still get Christine's birthday mixed up. And I've known her for years. Like this year I had to go back, and this happens like with all my friends now. Like I don't know if it's like because I don't make the mental note. I generally know what month their birthday is and like around what time, but when it comes to the actual dates, like I'm not good at remembering that anymore. And every year I'm like, okay, I think someone's birthday is coming up, I have to go check. So I'll literally like go into my messages and type in happy birthday and see if I can find the last time that I wished them happy birthday. I literally missed one of my friend's birthdays, closest friend's birthdays, this past year. And I remember I didn't find out until Christine told me weeks later, and I felt so bad. I felt so bad because I was like, wait, no, I knew her birthday was in June. I just thought it was like June this day, and I totally was off. Totally. So yeah, like that's something like kind of a comparison where I'm just like, I'm not good at remembering the exact dates anymore, but I can still remember the ones from when I was 10 years old. Yeah, so I was just really good at remembering birthdays. And now I feel like it flies completely over my head. That's like a small thing, but it's like one of those things where I'm like, oh, I just remember I used to be so good at that, and now I like am not at all. It never like sticks. Like every year I wish them happy birthday and the date doesn't stick in my head. So the following year I have to go back and be like, thank goodness for social media in that sense and people posting when their birthday is, because otherwise I fear not remember. Actually so bad. There's a reason why I post something on my birthday, because I'm like, I'm not going to get birthday wishes from most people. I'll probably end up getting like 2 or 3 birthday wishes if I don't post anything. The moment I post something, I'll see people like flood in and be like, oh my gosh, happy birthday. And I'm like, okay, see, that was the reminder for people. But otherwise, people don't know unless you're really close. Also, I have to clear this up. I do know Christine's birthday now. I'm trying to remember what my phone usage looked like when I was in a relationship, because the one thing I have no memory of is doom scrolling in the way that I do when I was in a relationship. Because the thing is, first off, oh, and also there was this time period that I lived in a dorm. So that's another thing. Now that I'm thinking about it, when I lived in Hawaii, was I doom scrolling a ton? I don't think so. When I was living in a dorm, was I doom scrolling a ton? I definitely probably had like doom scrolling periods, but not as much as I do now. I don't know. Would I come back home and climb into bed, or, you know, I don't remember that time period. And the relationship, the first 7 months of us being in a relationship, we were with each other pretty much all the time. Well, not all the time, but like a lot of the time. So then I don't know, like, was I, or like, would we doom scroll together? Like, I don't know. I have no memory of that. But see, there's this very distinct process of me doom scrolling. Like, obviously there's like the separate doom scrolling incidents. Like, okay, I'm sitting on the couch and my phone is by me and I just, like, I do that too, okay? But mainly I catch myself endlessly doom scrolling with no end in sight when I climb onto my bed, my perfectly made bed, and just like lay there on my phone and just kind of like scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll. I have never been good at figuring out how to keep myself busy when I don't actually have things that are getting me out of the house to do. It's quite the problem. Quite the problem. And I don't know. Actually, on that note, kind of random, but let me just throw it in there. I finally booked that ballroom class that I've been meaning to do. So that's what I'm going to be doing Tuesday night. So excited. Hopefully it's good. Hopefully I enjoy it. Obviously I'm a little like scared going into it. I'm like, what if I hate it? But hopefully I don't. The like wake up call, or the thing that like finally got me to do it, was the one thing I kept being terrified about was the fact that I had to drive there, which I have also like this weird fear with driving, because it's kind of irregular, as in, okay, for example, if I haven't driven in a while and I have a plan coming up with someone and I know I'm gonna have to drive there and it's not to one of the places that I just like know by heart, I know the route by heart, I get really anxious and I'm like thinking about it for like 24 hours beforehand. I can't kind of sleep, sort of thing. Like, I'm really anxious about it. But then, for example, if I all of a sudden on the whim, like my mom's like, hey, can you go to Whole Foods and like get this stuff? I can just hop into the car and start driving. Or if I've been driving a lot recently, then it's a lot easier too. So for example, on Thursday or Friday, something of that sort, I think it was Thursday, my mom was like, hey, do you want to go get dinner? And I was like, sure. It was just gonna be the two of us. And usually when my mom and I go do something, she drives and I can pass in her princess. And I'm like, phew, thank goodness I'm spared from this drive. But this time around, we were like getting our stuff and ready to go. And my mom was like, can you drive? And I was like, oh, I have to drive. And I haven't driven in, I think, over a month or something of that sort. And so I was like, oh, I have to drive. Like, it's been a while. And of course, I had plans that like got canceled earlier in this past month where I literally was like so anxious about it. But I hopped into the car and I drove. And at first I was like, do I even know how to drive? But then I was like, no, obviously I know how to drive. And then yesterday, for example, same thing. Like, my sister and I went out to go do something. We were meeting a friend. And I know this path very well because like we do it all the time, or this route very well. So like, I don't need a GPS. I know exactly what lane I need to stay in at all times, like that whole thing, which brings me a lot more comfort for sure. But anyways, I wasn't sure whether my sister was going to drive or whether I was going to drive, because my sister has recently been doing this thing where she realizes like, oh, Sophia has this fear of driving, so like I'll just drive if we're going together. And she was like, oh, actually, can you drive? Like, I want to study in the car. And I was like, okay, sure. So like I drove. So it was like, okay, I can drive. So I will drive. So I will be driving myself there on Tuesday. So that was like the thing where I was like, okay, I can't be anxious about it anymore because I've done it recently and like all was well. So anyways, but that's just a random fun fact in terms of like keeping yourself busy outside of just doom scrolling. But yeah, I'm not good at it. And so I was actually just listening Okay, mind you, the idea for this episode came before I was listening to this specific episode, but I saw she had an episode, Emma has an episode on like things to do instead of doom scrolling. So I was listening to it and she's like giving this really great list. And I was just like, I'm not gonna get myself to do any of this. I fear I just, it's too hard for me to completely avoid it. If I have like a pocket of time, I'm probably gonna doom scroll. So yeah, I really feel like the best fix there is like, okay, TikTok goes for good. But also like there's so many other things that I will lose if TikTok goes for good. And you know, I think there's something to be said, like if it's meant to be, it'll be kind of thing. Like, oh, if that's how it's supposed to go, that's supposed to go, I'll call it like a loss. Or I don't know if I can even call it a loss, but it's just like I can choose to start from scratch again. Because for me, unfortunately, you know, a lot of, I think, bigger creators figured this out a lot earlier on that, okay, the best thing to do is to have multiple platforms where you post. So you kind of just like repurpose your posts or make different posts for different platforms. But the point is you now have a significant following on all sorts of platforms. Like a lot of influencers on TikTok then also have a following on Instagram and maybe also have a following on YouTube and whatever else. So they're good. They are good. Okay. They already have something set up for themselves. They don't have to start from scratch. I, on the other hand, would have to quite literally start from scratch. I have a YouTube channel that has like some subscribers. YouTube is not my first choice because I am arguably like the worst YouTuber out there. I have this problem where I'll literally forget that I have a YouTube channel, or I'll just like lose the motivation to post regularly. And then months will go by and then I'll randomly remember again. And I've had this cycle over and over again. Like I've never been able to like consistently commit to YouTube for like years and years and years. I think the longest time where I was posting consistently was maybe a year or so. I don't remember, like 9 months, something of that sort. And then eventually I kind of fell out of it again. And then it took me months again before I was like, oh, right, I have a YouTube channel. Like, let's get back on that. Let's share. So, and YouTube is harder because it's like longer form content. So it takes a lot more time to edit and film and get everything together. And I always have this problem with computer storage. Like it's a whole thing. So it's not as, I find, it's never been as easy as TikTok. Even if I'm like making super high quality like voiceover content on TikTok. So I don't think YouTube would be my first choice. Although maybe I will, like something will click in my brain where it's like, okay, let's get back into that like for reals and see if we can actually do something with that. But in terms of Instagram, I would not post on my personal Instagram. First off, I would want to move all of my content over. At least not all of it. Okay, that's absurd because I probably have like thousands of videos, but I would want to move the most memorable ones over. So there's like a couple from 2023 that got like a ton of views. I'd want to move those over. And then a couple from like early 2024, like my highest performing ones essentially. And then starting from when I started making that like voiceover content that I like make now, I would want to post all of those because I really like that content too. So that would probably be like 100 to 200 videos that I need to upload onto a different platform before the ban, which I need to get to work on. I told myself I was going to do that today. Am I going to do that today? I don't know. I need to do it. But point is, I started a new account for that because I was like, and you will not catch me posting this for all of my mutuals to see, okay? Not the guy who I had a crush on a couple months ago. Not the guy that I went on a first date with. Actually, I don't even know if that man follows me anymore. But like, not for those people. I refuse. I'm so sorry. I cannot, okay? You cannot see me that vulnerable and real because my content is very vulnerable and real. So I've started a totally new account. I have one follower. Who is that one follower? Me, myself, and I. Yeah, I'm the only person who follows that account right now. And knowing how my experience with Reels has been in the past, I'm gonna absolutely flop on Reels. Like, it's gonna be the hardest flop ever. But right now I'm just trying to remind myself the only reason why I'm doing this is just so that I have my content somewhere else. Okay, it's not for the views. It's not like, oh, I want people to like watch. No, I'm just gonna take the loss and I guess start from scratch on Reels, which is not gonna happen. Like, I'm gonna have a solid 5 followers at all times. But point is, yeah, I have to start from scratch. And I was very much avoiding that. I didn't want to start from scratch. It took so long for me to build up my account. And maybe it doesn't seem like that to other people, but for me, it just felt, it was laborious. Okay, I know that sounds insane for like a following, but no, I put in the work to get the followers that I have. And I feel like I'm finally at a point where I'm like, okay, this is like a nice amount. And I feel like it feels more legit, you know, like when it's, when you just have like a couple thousand, you're like, yeah, I'm a content creator, but it doesn't feel super legit. And like, obviously I still don't have a lot of followers, but I'm still like, it's more than 10,000. And most people don't just get 10,000 like that. So clearly I've been doing something. So I feel less weird about admitting that I make content. Like I actually put in the work for that. Cause you know, it's like when you first start out, I feel like it's kind of embarrassing to be like, yeah, I actually put in the work to, I mean, not, maybe not everyone feels this, but I think that there is a little bit of this like mindset of like, oh, it feels kind of weird that I'm like trying to be something that I'm not. And so you don't really want to like openly admit, like when people make people would make comments sometimes, or like when I would be like, oh, I like make videos, and people would be like, oh, like an influencer, I'd be like, oh yeah, haha. Like, I mean, you know, it's just casual, you know, but like I wasn't, that was not casual for me, but I tried to downplay it because I feel like it is strange to admit, oh yeah, I just post my life on the internet. No biggie, like no reason either. Not, I'm not trying to be anything. I just do it to do it kind of thing. So yeah, I'd have to start from scratch. And for all the work that I put in, I don't know if I'm particularly thrilled about having to start all over again with that. Okay. I didn't want to actually for the longest time. I was very much just like, you know, maybe I should just take it as loss and say, hey, I got to try it. I got close enough to what I wished to have one day with content creation. I got to experience some things. Like I got to do some brand deals. I got to make some money, not a lot, but like I did get to make something off of it. I got to get some PR, like not a ton, not as I had dreamt of, but enough for me to know what the experience was like. And so cool, like it's a story to tell my kids or whoever wants to listen one day, but I think I just have to accept that that was not meant to be. And instead, you know, I'll make something else work out, you know, the career. I always felt like having that platform would make things easier in other ways, if that makes sense. For example, I always thought that I would go into social media marketing, and I thought, oh, I probably prove as more of a legit candidate if I have this whole like account that I've built up and I can show proof that I've successfully done this. But actually what I've learned is that has not helped me in any way. It does not help me whatsoever. It's funny, back in 2022, I managed to get an internship with no prior experience in social media marketing solely by showing that I had two quote unquote viral videos. Now, these viral videos had like 100K views max, or like around 100K views, nothing more than that. And just by explaining how like I put in the work to make those, and like they ended up getting enough views that seemed credible to that company, and I got that internship. And it's still the most valuable internship I did to date. So I thought, oh, maybe, you know, like obviously now I'm a little bit more legit, like we're like close to 16K followers kind of thing. Like maybe that helps me in some way, shape or form. No, it hasn't at all. Actually, it's done quite the opposite for me. So point is, I did think that, you know, maybe it would like open up doors for me in weird ways, or just like pave the way for me to like gain opportunities or meet people who could like connect me to opportunities and stuff like that in terms of my actual career. But it's okay. We'll figure it out. I think it is insane though that like so many people will lose their job. It's not just the influencers. It's also, oh wow, I'm losing my job in a way. I mean, not a real job, but like kind of a makeshift job. But not just the influencers, all of the people in the US who worked at TikTok, everyone at various different brands and companies that worked specifically on TikTok for that brand, which that's definitely a thing. That's definitely a job. Also just like social media marketing in general, like very interesting. TikTok was really so useful in terms of creating jobs, and now it's going to go away. But I would love to get this doom scrolling thing under wraps. That would be nice. I think it's the phase of life that I'm in. Like if I was in like a different phase of life where I'm busy with something else, then okay, my phone usage is definitely a lot less. It's not that I've completely stopped doom scrolling, but it's definitely a lot less in general. For example, today my phone usage is probably going to be less than it was yesterday, for example, because I've kept myself busy. Or maybe not yesterday, but the day before, for sure. Yesterday, I was still doing stuff as well. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to fix this. Anyways, maybe this Dopamine Nation book will actually give me some advice that I really can apply. But it's just so hard. It's so hard when you're in the nick of it and you've been doing it for so long. I mean, I've been on TikTok since November of 2019. And basically since the beginning, I've had this problem, this doom scrolling problem. And really the only thing that's like effectively kept me off of it is being busy, always being with other people, always having something else to do, always being out of the house. That's the exception. And if not, I don't know how to take the time that I have, all of that time that I have, and put it to other things than just being on my phone. And so I think it was interesting listening to that episode that Emma does where she's like, oh, well, you can do this, you can do this, you can do this. And she was giving like some explanations as to like, okay, I get if you feel like you need to be doing something productive and this doesn't feel like it's productive, then this might feel like it's productive. But still, I'm like, I don't know if I could, I mean, maybe it's an experiment that I should do on myself for sure, but I don't know if I really have the willpower and the motivation to truly train my brain to be less on my phone. Because it's not that I haven't tried before, I haven't tried to curtail it. It's just, it's so easy to just fall back into that habit. But maybe I should think about this a little bit more, regardless of what happens. Just kind of think like, okay, well, what are some things I can do outside of just being on my phone endlessly? Yeah, I mean, it's probably good to have hobbies, right? Like that could be a good thing. You see, the problem is like my hobbies have literally become TikTok in a way. You know, I'm just like, oh, but I make my content. So like, I mean, at first I was like, this is a hobby. Now I'm like, oh, it's kind of like a makeshift job. You know, that's the excuse for why I spend so much time on my phone, but that's not it. That would not take as much time as it does. So I fear I've been trying to fool everyone, but I'm not fooling anyone. Any person in their right mind could see through what I'm trying to explain. So anyways, okay, well, that's me. Like I said, I'm sure I'm not alone. If I figure something out, I'll let you guys know. If I figure something genius out, I'll let you guys know. But in the meantime, I fear that I don't really see things getting better for me. And as long as I'm just here at home and I don't have really anything to do besides like apply to jobs, I don't know how to be better about this kind of thing. So yeah, and you know what I'm gonna do right now? I'm gonna go open up my phone and I'm gonna see what's up, and I might fall into another doom scrolling spell because I'm currently sitting on my bed, but I should probably go check what my family is doing instead. So, but you see, like, it's a problem. Oh, and the other thing that happens is like, I've also fallen into this habit of, okay, so I wake up in the morning and I try not to sleep with my phone in my room. Sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. Like last night, for example, I slept with it because I was like, oh, I'm going to climb, which is also like, Sophia, you know what's going to happen. But I was like, I'll climb into bed and I will work on my videos, okay? Because I was like, see, because I doom scrolled when I said that I was going to work on my videos and then I didn't work on the videos. And then I was like, but I still want to do it because I'm like, I have a good flow of thought. So I'm going to record the voiceovers. But then I was like, it's also time for bed. So then it's time for me to climb into bed. So I climbed into bed with my phone, and then hours went by and then I didn't go to sleep until like one. Okay. Anyways, I try to keep my phone out of my room when I sleep, because I also like, I feel like the brain or not the brain, I feel like the radiation from the phone is affecting my sleep. So I try to do that. And then I wake up in the morning, and usually the first thing after I climb out of bed and walk out of my room is I go find my phone. Some days I will first start the water for my green tea, maybe even like wash my face and all that. But then the next thing I'm doing is grabbing my phone. And the thing is, I try and do this green tea and reading time. Oh, I was about to say, did I post my TikTok for today? But I did. But I try and do this green tea and reading time, and my green tea and reading time is supposed to be phone free. But I feel that over the past, like, I don't even know how long, but especially over the past couple of weeks, I've noticed that like I've gotten into this habit where I post to TikTok right before I do that green tea and reading time. So basically first thing when I wake up in the morning, I post my TikTok, and then I'm like, oh, I'm going to be off my phone, I'm going to read, and I'm going to do my green tea. And I find myself continuously coming back and wanting to see like, what's the update on that video? Are people seeing it? Like, has anyone commented on it? And that kind of disrupts my flow of reading. Yeah, I'm having a hard time just like reading. Even it's like, it's 30 minutes or 20 minutes. I don't even know how long I'm reading for, but not that long. But I'm actually having trouble now sitting down and just reading without being like, oh, wait, I should do this. Wait, I should go check my phone. Oh, wait, let me go check something on my computer. Like, I don't know if it's because I'm reading like books that are not boring, but more like educational. So it's not like there's a plot that really is keeping me hooked. Maybe they're arguably harder reads than if I was reading like a little romance novel where you're like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen next? What's going to happen next? Right. But I don't know. So it's like all this stuff where I'm like, I need to change this, but I just cannot. I don't know, especially being at home. Like, that's the other thing. It's already so hard for me to just be like motivated in general. Yeah, it's something about my environment, but it's like, am I blaming my environment or am I just not trying hard enough? I don't know. But I fear that this is definitely a problem and I'm aware of it. And now I'm admitting it to you and I'm hoping that you're not totally judging me. I'm also hoping that like enough people can be like, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I have that problem too. So it's like, we're kind of kumbayaing together. We're like, you know, instead of being like, we listen and we judge, like no listening and judging. But yeah, brain rot. Oh my God, the brain rot. And just like, I feel like I just quote so many things from TikTok too. My sister actually, fun fact, decided that, I don't know if she's doing this indefinitely or what her whole vibe is, but she deleted TikTok at the beginning of the year and hasn't been on it since that I know of. And now it's the 12th. And I'm like, that's so good. But I can't do that because, you know, my livelihood is on there. And obviously I could sit here and be like, actually, I'm not going to be on TikTok anymore. But then it takes away the one thing that makes me feel like I still sort of have my life together and I still am sort of doing something with my life, if that makes sense. Like, it's a makeshift job, and the fact that I do get to make money off of it feels like, okay, a little bit more legit. I am working towards something, and that feels good because I don't really have that in any other avenue. Like, okay, if I had a regular job, then probably I would be less preoccupied and needing to feel like I'm doing something with my life. But for right now, it's like, you know, the job search isn't gonna make me feel like I'm doing something with my life because there's no reward. That's the problem. There's no reward that's coming out of that unless, like, okay, finally something works out. Then there's a reward. There's delayed gratification with something like applying to jobs. Is my dad going to work? My dad's going to work. But yeah, there's delayed gratification with that. And who knows when I'm going to get that gratification. With TikTok, it's a little bit more of like, okay, instant reward. Every day I can wake up and see how much money I've made, or I can see how many people have followed me or commented or liked, and that's instant gratification. And that's the problem. That is why we are so addicted to something like social media. I'm literally grabbing my phone right now. Where is she? Okay, I actually don't know where she is, so never mind, I'm not grabbing my phone right now. But yeah, the nice thing about this podcast is it keeps me off of my phone for an hour to 2 hours whenever I record. But yeah, besides that, I am on my phone a lot, I have to admit, and I get a dopamine hit from it, and I spend a lot of time on it, and it's clearly an addiction. And everything my mom's ever said about me and the phone, she's not totally wrong, but also sometimes I'm like, you don't get it, like I am making a livelihood out of this, but also like, yes, yeah, it is a problem, I'm aware. So anyways, this is me and my problem child. We listen and we don't judge. My brain is literally rotting by the second. It's actually not funny. I genuinely think, I was literally telling Christine, I was like, I feel like I just need to go back to school because I think I've already completely unworked my whole degree. All 4 years out the window because of the past 9 months of doom scrolling, or however long it's been. Yeah, I think my brain is just out the window. I'm scared. I mean, at least I still read stuff that is semi-educational, I guess, and gets me thinking. But I feel like give it a little bit more time and my brain will be literal mush and it'll have been like I never ever got an education of any sort at all. Ugh, this is so bad. Okay, anyways, thank you so much for listening. I'm leaving it at that. We're not going to keep going because I think you get the vibe here. Not good. Thank you so much for listening. I will see you guys in my episode next week, and let's see what happens with TikTok. And maybe I shouldn't make another Instagram because maybe it's, but you know what? Maybe I should take it as my loss and just be like, actually, this is a good thing for me. It's healthy. And everything else hopefully will work out in itself. I won't try and get it. I don't know. It's like, it's so hard because it's like, oh, in this day. Okay, I'm going to stop talking. But I think you get the vibe here. Okay, I think you get the vibe. All right. Thanks for listening. Bye. Love you all. I could keep talking for ages. It's actually so hard to stop talking about this because I have literally 5 years of TikTok, but how long have I been? Almost 8 years of content, just like 8 years of pent up thoughts and feelings about this problem of mine. Yeah. Okay. All right. Bye.